All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yeah, the Waterworks Department. Thank you. So, chapter 19, canto 11. What's the number of the text? Yeah. I'm getting there. Oh, yes. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dastam janam sampatitam vile asmin. Dastam janam sampatitam vile asmin. Kalahina shudra sokoru tarsam. Kalahina kshudra sakaru tarsam. Samudarainam dipaya pavag gyair. Samudarainam dipaya pavag gyair. Vachobir asincha mahanubhava. Vachobhira Sincha Mahanubhava. I usually, for years I was traveling with a printer, and a portable printer, and it went, as we say in New York, it went kaplooey. That means it's finished. So I'm using a different system for this. Let's see now. Okay. This part here. Dastam janam sampatitam vilesmin. Kalahina kshudra sukaru tarsham. Samudarainam kripaya pavargyair. Vachobir asincha mahanubhava. Dastam janam sampatitam vilesmin. Kalahina kshudra sukaru tarsham. Samudarainam kripaya pavargyair. Vachobir asincha mahanubhava. Thank you. Dastam janam sampatitam bilesmin kalahina kshudra sukhor tarsham sudarainam kripaya pavargyair asincha mahanubhavam mataji. Dastam janam sampatitam bilesmin kalahina kshudra sukhor tarsham sudarainam kripaya pavargyair achobhir asincha mahanubhavam janam sampatitam bilesmin kalahina kshudra sukhor tarsham Dastam bitten, janam, the person, sampatitam, hopelessly fallen, bilay, in the dark hole, asmin, this, kala, of time. Ahina, by the serpent. Shudra, insignificant. Sukha, having happiness. Uru, and tremendous. Tarsham, hankering. Samudhara, please uplift. Enam, this person. Lipaya, by your causeless mercy. Apavargyai, that awakens one to liberation. Vachobhi, by your words. Asinchan, please pour. Maha Anubhava, Almighty Lord. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Almighty Lord, please be merciful and uplift this hopeless living entity who has fallen into the dark hole of material existence where the snake of time has bitten him. In spite of such abominable conditions, this poor living entity has tremendous desire to relish the most insignificant material happiness. Please save me, my Lord, by pouring down the nectar of your instructions, which awaken one to spiritual freedom. Please repeat. Almighty Lord, please be merciful and uplift this hopeless living entity who has fallen into the dark hole of material existence, where the snake of time has bitten him. In spite of such abominable conditions, this poor living entity has tremendous desire to relish the most insignificant material happiness. Please save me, my Lord, by pouring down the nectar of your instructions, which awaken one to spiritual freedom. Here it is. Purport. Material life, so much cherished by the non-devotees, is here compared to a dark hole filled with poisonous snakes. In material life, there is certainly no clear understanding of one's ultimate identity, of God or of the universe. Everything is vague and dark. In material life, the poisonous snake of time is always threatening, and at any moment, our near and dear ones will be killed by the mortal fangs of the serpent. Ultimately, we ourselves will also be bitten and killed by the poisonous effects of time. The word sampatitam indicates that the fall down of the living entity is complete. In other words, he cannot get up again. Is that some, maybe someone can help on this? Is that like Sankirtan? The same idea. It augments the total, complete, done thing. I'll read that again. The word sampatitam indicates that the fall down of the living entity is complete. In other words, he cannot get up again. Sri Uddhava therefore appeals to the Lord to be kind to these poor fallen souls, humbly represented by his own self. If one receives the Lord's mercy, then even without any further qualification, one can go back home, back to Godhead. Without the mercy of Lord Krishna, the most learned, austere, powerful, wealthy, or beautiful man will be pathetically crushed by the material world's machinery of illusion. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, as described here, is Mahanubhava, or the greatest, most powerful, and most merciful personality, whose influence extends everywhere. The Lord's mercy is manifest in the form of his nectarian instructions, such as Bhagavad Gita and the Uddhava Gita being spoken here. The word Shudra Sukaru Tarsham reveals the irony of material existence. Although the material happiness is shudra, or ridiculous and insignificant, our desire to enjoy it is uru, tremendous. Our disproportionate hankering to enjoy dead matter is certainly an illusory state of mind, and it gives us constant distress, keeping us bound up in the dark hole of material existence. Every living entity should put aside his false prestige based on ephemeral bodily qualifications and appeal sincerely to the Supreme Lord Krishna for his mercy. The Lord hears every sincere appeal from even the most fallen soul, and the effects of the Lord's mercy are wonderful. Although jnanis, yogis, and fruitive workers are laboriously endeavoring to achieve their respective goals, their position is precarious and uncertain. Simply by achieving the mercy of Lord Krishna, however, one can very easily attain the highest perfection of life. If even one who is not a great or pure devotee of Lord Krishna sincerely appeals to the Lord for his mercy, the Lord is sure to give it generously. Almighty Lord, translation again, please be merciful and uplift this hopeless living entity who has fallen into the dark hole of material existence, where the snake of time has bitten him. In spite of such abominable conditions, this poor living entity has tremendous desire to relish the most insignificant material happiness. Please save me, my Lord, by pouring down the nectar of your instructions, which awaken one to spiritual freedom. Om Gyanati Manandasya Janjana Shalakya Chakshun Militanya Tajman Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So sometimes we hear we should make the best use of a bad bargain. So I'm going to apply this. This is a sort of existential or something, very experiential. Although I was awarded sannyas, I have to humbly, very humbly admit that I also I'm still subject to this this process here, especially when it comes to prasadam. Sometimes, I have to admit, sometimes I mess up pretty bad. Now, here we have a prime example. What do they say? Don't hang out your dirty laundry, but you're all friends, so I can share it with you. And if you don't forgive me, I'll understand, but I do hope you will forgive me. Yesterday morning, I was taking my fruit, and I didn't have my usual quota of fruit, so I was kind of scrounging around and found a few apples, and I think there was one banana. And so I needed a little boost. So lately I've gotten into this good or bad habit of getting a little more, I'm not overweight, getting a little more substance in the breakfast. And so I just, you know, I just went into tamagoon, I guess, and I just took my usual granola. Oh, no, look what he did, granola, yeah. So as I'm trying to enjoy, and it's pretty insignificant, I mean, it's prasadam and all, but pretty insignificant pleasure you get. But here I'm trying to take this kshudra sukha, this kshudra, this very insignificant sukha, happiness. And he says, something doesn't feel right. Tastes all right, but there's something wrong here. And then I realized, oh my God, it's a codicil today. Where in New York they say, oh, you wait. So I just, I didn't feel so good about it. But then I started thinking, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a pretty good devotee. I'm not going to get any real bad reaction. It happens to the best of us. Not that I'm the best of them, but it just, I figured, what the heck? Things will go on all right. Wishful thinking. Things did not go on so smoothly. Different things happened. The worst thing that happened was at 2:15. Well, first of all, yesterday when I was planning on preparing this class, I just, like, all these phone calls came in. I mean, you know, I'm not like a big draw or anything, but I somehow was getting all these phone calls. Guru Prasad Maharaj called me, and he said he wants me to go to Colombia pretty soon. And there's some situation. And then this and that. And I even get a call from my own friend Sandy, who I can't hang up the phone on because I've known him for over 60. I've known him for many, many years, more than half a century, and he's an inveterate hippie. And he called me from Greenwich Village, and he's still hanging around there trying to find more hippies, and it's hard to find them. And he, you know, he's, anyway, he's a good guy. I took him to see Srila Prabhupada. I took him. Krishna somehow took us both because I couldn't take any. I couldn't even take myself. I couldn't even find out where my parents' house was. I was, you know, really like spaced out. And I took him to see Prabhupada. I guess you can say that, at 26 Second Avenue in 1966. That was the year that she got a brand new Mustang, 1966, remember that one? For the older generation. Anyway, I just, he remembers that like anything, and he keeps thanking me for doing that. He actually became vegetarian about 20 years ago, and then we could start talking to each other, and he always says Hare Krishna. And actually, I want you to say, I don't want to make it anything formal, but I just want to introduce you to a very good friend of mine. This is Bhakta Hore here. Could you raise your hand, Bhakta Hore? Hare Bol. Oh, thank you. You gave him a free Hare Bol. That's very nice. So when he was with me, he just flew in from San Antonio, Texas, and when he was with me, this personality, I let them talk to each other for a little while, and he remembered that incident in 1966. Anyway, that was nice, you might say, but meanwhile, the whole day is going by. I didn't have any time to do my prep. I was really looking forward to doing a really colossal job on this text, because it's very inspiring to me, it has high impact, and as you can see, it applies to my own life. So then, okay, all right, I figured I'll do what I sometimes do. I don't like to do it like this, but I figured I would come just in time for the class, which is, you may have noticed, that happened this morning. And I'll spend the whole morning, I can chant my rounds during the day. Actually, I chanted 3 beads so far today. And so I'll spend the whole morning nicely preparing the class so I can come here and be able to offer you something organized and, you know, with a little punch to it. So what happened? This morning at 2:15 a.m., all of a sudden there was this loud, like heavy metal rock music outside. And I said, what is going on? We're in the middle of the big field here, and how is this happening? And somehow Bhakta Hori didn't wake up, but he was fortunate. But I woke up like anything, and it was so disturbing, I couldn't go back to sleep again. Now, some of you may wake up at 2, and I offer my respects for that. But I don't usually do that. So I tried to go back to sleep. I couldn't go back to sleep. So I told Bhakta Hori, I said, all right, go to the... anyway, I'm not going to say the whole Bhagavatam class about my terrible experience, but it's really an example of how some insignificant happiness crunching on some granola with my half real and half prosthetic teeth. I would, get some enjoyment, and you can just see how it really one thing led to another. Now, here's what happened again. When I told Bhakta Hori, go to the morning program, she did. So he experienced the wonderful new Raman Reiti morning program for the first time. It's the first time he's here. And I went for the hook, and I said, all right, this has been such a, I'm just going to take a little more rest. Ding! Doesn't work. And not only that, but I wanted to give myself that extra little kshudra sukha by not setting the alarm. I said, you deserve it. You had you kind of like, you broke a kadasi, you didn't feel good about that. Give yourself a rest, So anyway, by Krishna's mercy, because I must have done some little tiny service in this life or previous life, somehow he woke me up that I'm here. I got here just in time. You know what time I woke up? At 7:30. No class preparation. No rounds chanting. I did take a shower. I'm good. How did you die? Bhakta Swami, we can call him. So, anyway, that's a little background how this is still practical. And I think we all experience, hopefully, mostly centered around prasadam, where you get that, especially as we get older, we want to still enjoy as we did when we were young. And sometimes, often, we find some indigestion or some problem, and you say, no, never again. So poisonous snake of time, by the way, is biting us. It's about to bite us. And this comes up in Bhagavatam. We also have bile svim. It's like we go into this incredible fantasy. We're not animals. We don't have animal bodies. Animal body, Prabhupada says, he often gives the example how for this insignificant pleasure, the fish loses his life. He gives some nice bait on the hook, and he goes for it, just to get, and then loses his life. I'm not as good as Srila Prabhupada in acting out and making these amazing sounds that illustrate this by a long shot. And what's the other example? The bee goes into the flower, lotus flower, some rose or something, and at night the petals close. Just for get that one last bit of honey, nectar, or the smell of the flower, the bee loses life. And then Prabhupada, he would tease us sometimes. I think he knew we didn't know in the West of how an elephant is captured. Prabhupada, you know how an elephant is captured? Like a conversation. By the way, you know how an elephant is captured? You must know, right? We have no idea. How do you capture an elephant? With a helicopter? I mean, we don't know. So he said, well, they make some hole, sort of like the bile, the hole, And they put one female elephant on the other side. And female elephant very nicely attracts the male elephant. And he falls into the pit and he's captured. So just this enjoying the looking at the female elephant and he falls in. Actually, on a very somber note, I can give an example of that. It just occurred to me now. It was Dwarkadish, is that her name? Mataji, she wrote this article. Some of you may remember this. Very, you can't forget the example she gave of how they went on a sort of a trek or something to some hilly region, and it was like there was a cliff. Here we go. It gets pretty somber, actually. And it's a true story. I don't think she would have wrote this as a true story if it wasn't a true story. And she was, you know, with a group of young men and ladies and girls and boys. And one young man, he became a little too fascinated. And she didn't go into any detail, but he was looking at her, I think for obvious reasons. You know, young men and young women, my father, my material father, that is, he got a letter published in the New York Times, which is not an easy thing to do. We were all proud of him. We read it. He showed it to everybody. Try to get write a letter to the New York Times and try to get it published. Nowadays, it's no easier. And the reason it got published was that he came up with this very pithy phrase about hippies. And my father was quite Freudian, and he got a PhD in psychology, and the whole library was infested with all these books by Freud, the library in our house. So his phrase was, the bells and the bees really are hiding the birds and the bees. Very Freudian remark, and it's probably a lot of truth to it. This was, I don't know if they were all hardcore hippies, like my friend Sandy, but this was just a natural attraction, young boys and young girls. So she didn't say why he looked at her, out of modesty perhaps, in the article, but he looked at her and he became distracted. And as he's looking at her, maybe he wanted to get a view, maybe he something with his vision, he started like walking backwards, enjoying this insignificant titillation, or whatever you want to call it, by the boy-girl thing. And he took one step too many and he went over the cliff. And then the article describes how they dealt with that, what these young people did, and I won't go into all that detail, but he did leave his body. So, of course, that was to illustrate some philosophical point, as we're trying to do here, that just for a moment of distraction, a moment of being off guard, you might say. See, animal life, they get caught like that, and they also, so it applies to animal, it applies to human being. But the problem is, the animals, they just lose that one life, and there's no, we can apply it in that context, there's no loss or diminution, because they're not sinful. They're not, you can't say, oh, the fish fell in Maya. No, the fish is always in Maya. You know, what was that song? Happiness is when you have nothing left to lose. So the happy fish. Of course, he's not happy at that moment, but the next life he gets birth in a more exalted fish, and bigger fish or something like that. Maybe he could become an octopus. Isn't that great? So in human life, it's more serious. In human life, you don't just lose your life. You lose many lives. You lose this amazing opportunity. It's so much deeper. And human life, as Prabhupada writes, in Isho Panish, the life of responsibility. So anyway, the little preparation I did the other day, I started, and it's going to be a little bit bumpy ride here, although we can't get into too much detail. But this idea of the snake of time, also this idea, when I was a kid, I used to be a kid. You know what they call a young goat is also called a kid. So I was that kind of kid one time, and I'm talking about this time around, as a human kid. And my older sister and myself, we were both terrified because we both read Edgar Allan Poe's The Pit and the Pendulum. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but some of you may have read that story. Probably of all Poe's terror tales, it's probably the most gripping and amazingly powerful writing. No time to go through the whole story or even half of it. But there was something in Spain, there was something about the Inquisition, and they had an amazing system of torture. And one was that they put a man in this, first thing is the pendulum, which is a very horrible thing. Gets lower and lower, and he's tied down, and his body's going to get sliced to pieces. With an image of Father Time also, the snake of time, is graphically illustrated in some sort of metal statue-like thing. And the reaper with a big scythe, and then the bottom end was a scythe. I won't tell so much about the pendulum because it doesn't directly relate to the verse, but the pit does, the bile, the dark hole, the pit. So somehow the prisoner, Krishna gave him some intelligence, or Edgar Allan Poe, you know, created this artifice where he had this intelligence where he smears foodstuffs over the ropes that are binding his hands because he noticed there were these rats running around. So sometimes a rat can become your best friend. And he smeared the little food that they gave him. He had one hand free so he can eat. And then the rats duly came and performed the wonderful service of biting on the food on the rope. So he got free of it. And at the last second, he was actually starting to get grazed by this thing. The last thing, whoosh, whoosh. The bottom of it was a razor-sharp knife. Time is described as that also in Bhagavad Gita. What is that? I used to know in my glossary list, I had the phrase, a razor-sharp, like lightning bolts, object that's rotating or something. Time is destruction, isn't it? So he gets out of that, and guess what happens next? If the right hand don't get you, then the left one will. The pit aspect of it, the bile. So then he's noticing something strange is happening. He hears this sound. The walls are closing in on him gradually. They're this elaborate mechanical arrangement and with motors and everything. And advanced torture chamber. So the walls are closing in. And what does he notice in the middle? Of course, he could have gotten crushed. That wouldn't have been fun either. But he notices this pit. And he looks down this pit. And I don't know if he saw any snakes, but he didn't like what he saw. He just went way, way, way down. And the walls were closing in. Now, you might say, how did he live to tell the story? Okay, there was the soldiers, his comrades came in, and they grabbed his arm just as he was falling down the pit. This is a very gripping story, but this is the story of the material world. I mean, there's so many analogies, and what we don't seem to catch, we're trying to become Vaishnavas, we're trying to become awakened, by the nectar, the asincha, the pouring down that we heard in yesterday's verse also, this idea of nectar, and that it came from some magical umbrella. And we heard examples of umbrellas that actually pour down soothing, cooling drops of nectar or at least water. So this is also in yesterday's verse. So here, again, the same thing, pour down the nectar, but this time the nectar is going to come in amrita in the terms of your instructions, which awaken one to spiritual freedom. And in human life, it's a necessity for that. So the, what was it, maybe Dravida Prabhu or someone can help me with this one, the verse by Prahlad where he says, I have fallen into a pit of is it the same Sampatitam or fallen into this pit due to association with worldly people. I have fallen into this pit of snakes. The same example is there. How can I give up his service? Narada Muni has saved me. Your servant has come and saved me. And he has established me in this transcendental position, Atmat Pabat. He's given me self-realization. My Lord, you kindly sent this wonderful sage amongst demigods. But the same example is there, that I fall into this pit of snakes. Now, snakes can be defanged. You hear about that. And it's interesting, this verse from, was it Bilva Mangala Thakur? Prabodhananda Saraswati, sorry. Kaivalyam Narakayate. So it's Durdantendriya Kala Sarpa Patale Protkata Damstrayate. That the snake, Prabhupada often gives this example, is very dangerous, but if a snake and defanged, only a child would become afraid. There's no fear, unless it's a python, that's another thing. But otherwise, there's no fear of a defanged snake. So the question is, a snake in this world can be defanged, and then you're not afraid of it. Can we defang the snake of time? That's a homework assignment. We call it a car park question. Something to think about. It gets into some... There's a lot of philosophy there, if you think about the end. Is it possible to defang the snake of time? Yes. Ayaharati Vaipam Sun. Yeah, okay, that's the answer. I guess it is possible to defang the snake of time by, despite the fact that he's endlessly chasing everyone, as Gajendra pointed out, the elephant, you can defang him by hearing the glories of the Lord, by, as Uddhava is begging to hear the instructions. So that it's both, this Shankhya Yoga and Shankhya and Yoga, that only immature people talk about them as two different things. Actually, they're both sides of the same coin. Well, yesterday I brought up the topic which incite any kind of discussion, but it was a question that, because in today's verse, we're hearing that nectar is not directly, we're not hearing directly, tell me about your pastimes, tell me about your loving relationships with your confidential devotees. We're just saying, it just says, apabarga, which is liberation. Kripa apabarga, kripababargyaya, that awakens one. Your nectarian instructions, nectar, the pour down the nectar of your instructions that immediately... makes me a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. No, but of course Uddhava has already arrived, we can say. But that awakens one to self-realization and gets up to the point of liberation, we can say. Because there are different kinds of liberation, but that's the point of this verse. So then this is Shankhya, we can say. It's a jnana. Of course Uddhava can get a lot more than just... dry jnana or something like that. But the fact is that the process of Shankhya, analytical study, and the process of yoga, which alludes to bhakti yoga, are not actually two separate processes. One who does well on one of these paths achieves the benefit of both, Krishna says. But then, just as happens in chapter 3, we're in chapter 5 of Bhagavad Gita, then we find that there is a, this is nuanced now, it's nuanced, that actually the path of bhakti yoga is superior. How does that number 6 begin? I need a jump start. One who renounces everything, dukkham aptam ayogataha. How does, what's the first line what is it? Yeah, I'm trying to get to the verse. the sanyasas tu mahabaho dukam aptam ayogataha. Munir, what is it? Yoga yuktu munir brahma chira nadi gachchati. Chira means delay. So nachira means there's no delay. A sincere practitioner, a sincere sadhaka, muni, he'll quickly attain Brahman. He'll quickly attain the goal. Whether we're talking about Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan, we'll quickly attain that. But renunciation alone, without performing devotional service, is dukkham aptam ayogataha. Without yoga, ayogataha, then dukkham aptam. And so in chapter 3, there's also a similar an analysis, because Arjuna asked the same question in chapter 3 and chapter 5 in different words. So yes, you're right, Dravida Prabhu, the fangs of the serpent of time. You know, now we don't want to offend Krishna, because Krishna says, I am time, but we don't want to associate fangs with Krishna either. So this is the thing. It says, one of my favorite verses in Bhagavatam, just there are so many favorite ones we have. One is Dvau Viva Chintya Muktau. You know that one? Paramananda Aplutau. Yo Vimugdo Jato Balo. Yo Gunebhya Paramgataha. In this world, there are two types of people who are freed from all anxiety and merged in great happiness. What are the two types of people? One who is a retarded and childish fool, and one who has approached the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the three modes of material nature. So these are the two extremes, we can say. This is, talking about human life. Animals are always blissfully ignorant. But human's life, the fool, very strong language. This is, of course, a BBT translation in purport. This is 11.9.4. They're really... ignorance is bliss, as they say. They're in that category. And then the other is the self-realized soul. So both are happy in this world. One because he's just, you know, just oblivious, like the animal. He's just oblivious to his mortality. And the other one is happy because he knows he's not the body. So these two extremes, they're happy. But for the rest of us, we're in kunta. What is kunta? Of course, anxiety. So... verses like this, so Uddhava is speaking on our behalf. He's saying, please rescue me. The snake of time, also last reference, and then we can have a little discussion perhaps, is the I won't even worry about the Sanskrit at this point. This is Gajendra in his crisis. Now, what was Gajendra's crisis? You all know he was caught by the jaws of not exactly a snake, but in this case it was a crocodile, and he was being gradually defeated because of course water is the element for the crocodile, and the elephant can't deal with that. So he's being gradually dragged to his death, and it was painful. Also, we have a picture which evokes our pity for Gajendra. His whole leg is all bloody and crocodile is just gnawing away at it. And in that state, he's praying to the Lord, and he gets darshan with Lord Vishnu. He remembered the mantra that his guru taught him in his last life. And he's praying like that. And he's saying, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly not known to everyone, but he is very powerful and influential. We heard that in today's purport also. He's very influential, very powerful, the Lord. Therefore, although the serpent of eternal time, which is fearful in force, endlessly chases everyone. The word is brisham. That means unceasingly, at every minute, at every hour, the serpent of time is chasing us, ready to swallow him. Now, don't be comforted by the word him. Where him? In other words, it applies to each one of us. It is for you the bell tolls, as they say. If one who fears this serpent seeks shelter of the Lord gives him protection. For even death runs away in fear of the Lord. I therefore surrender unto him the great and powerful supreme authority, who is the actual shelter of everyone. So the same logic and the same message of today's verse comes up. Prahlad said something similar, and Gajendra is very much to the point, paralleling the same plea for mercy and the same recognition. Again, human life, it's like double jeopardy. It's a very, very serious repercussions if we don't take advantage of this amazing, responsible, and privileged, exceptional life form called the human body. And if it weren't for Srila Prabhupada, we'd never go to this philosophical depth. It's not only depth, but it's a entry-level understanding of what philosophy should be about, to understanding our human condition and the great responsibility that comes with the great privilege of human life. So don't follow my bad example. I know you don't. Of going for some shudra sukha, some insignificant happiness, crunch, crunch, crunch. And because, why we do that? Because we have uru tarsha. We have this extreme thirst. It's also in Bhagavad Gita, the description of the mode of passion. It's great thirst. Krishna, it's got this great thirst for sense gratification. So, thank you for your kind attention, and please excuse my, not being so prepared, but I tried to explain. I tried to use that as an example of what the verse is about, actually. I don't know if it was successful or not, but we tried. The first one today, we have two compatriots from the country of Guyana, which is in South America. So the first one to get his hand up was Trivikram Prabhu. There you go. Okay. Lay it on us.
So Sanjaya was related to Dhritarashtra about the flickering happiness of this material world. And he relates an allegory. Allegory, that's how you say it?
Allegory.
Allegory.
Not alligator, allegory.
And he said that a Brahmana was walking in the forest and suddenly he was attacked by some wild animals.
Wild animals attacked who?
A Brahmana.
A Brahmana.
In the forest.
Uh-huh.
And he started to run. And then as he looked at another direction, there was an old witch was coming on him too. And she was also attacking him. So he starts to run real fast. And he fell in this well, suddenly. Fell as he was running, he fell in a deep, dark well. But luckily for him, there were some ravens, vine. So he was trapped by the vine, and so he didn't fell completely down, but he was hooked by one of his legs, so his head was down.
This is almost as bad as the pit in the pendulum.
Yeah, something like that. So yeah. He was, actually, maybe that story came from this. So he was hooked, by the vine, and his head was down, and as he looked down, there was Kalasarpa, there was a huge snake there, waiting to grab him. And then when he looked up, there was a colossal elephant with six heads trying to get him also. And then the vine that was holding him was being nibbled by rats. They were nibbling the vines, see? So he's in this precarious condition. But suddenly a drop of honey hit his face, because it was coming in the vine. There was like a nest.
Okay,
of
so he got a little honey.
So he
got
started
a taste of honey. What happened next?
So he started to stretch his tongue for his honey, this little honey. So he's in this precarious condition. The snake is waiting for him at the bottom. The rats are nibbling on the thing, and the elephant is trying to get him, and he's trying to get this little drop of honey.
So how did he get saved? What happened to him?
So Dhritarashtra, so Sanjaya says that this is material life. see that. That
yeah. Okay.
Time,
I can understand. You could go and explain each of the.
Snake is time. Yeah, and it's waiting. But
snake is time. Yeah.
And the rats are night and day, and
right.
The elephants are the season.
Yeah, I think the main thing that I want to draw from what you're saying, and also from the whole context of today's class, is that it's us. It's
yeah.
us. It's, we don't understand. This is incredibly telling verse in Yontar Shukarantye Nam. What is it? Mitchur Antike. Kamova Mitchur Antike. Agatam Niyamana Sya. Vadasya Seva. Vadasya Seva Tushtida. That how can anyone, this is also in 11th canto, how can anybody enjoy material sense gratification when death is so close? We're exactly, agatam niyamnanasya, agatam is the place of execution. We're exactly like the man being led to the place of execution. Vadasya seva, and we're going to be killed very soon. By the snake of time, we can say time is antike, it's very near. So how could you have material happiness based on sense gratification? How could we do that? How could we be so fascinated by this this superficial enjoyment? And we don't quite catch that's our actual situation as we're sitting here in this room every moment. Of course, Dravida Prabhu pointed out that, Vaipum Sama, that if you hear the glories of the Lord with the day and the night, how does it begin? Ayur Harati Vaipum Sama, Ujjanastran Shayana, so yet, that with every day, we hear that, and it's like, okay, let's have a Bhagavatam class, let's have some philosophy, and then, you know, okay, that's what, okay, now we finished the philosophy, now let's get down to our practical business. But no, it's affecting us during the class, after the class. It's coming closer and closer and closer. We're just like a condemned man being led to the... There's a material point of view. It's, oh, devotees, you know, it's okay. But like, if you look at the material point of view, and you don't realize that the modern world is in such incredible, dangerous situation. I won't go into the details. But people are so oblivious to it. They just go about their life. They... you know, there was a huge protest for gun control. What about nuclear control? And people just are so oblivious to it. But we also tend to be like that, where instead of being serious, we go, just like I gave my own rather pathetic example of yesterday. So, anyway, anyone want to make some final comments?
Gajendra, you call attention to Gajendra, and I'd be honest with you, there's only one verse I memorized from that Gajendra last time, and it's kind of the antidote to the anxiety in the material world and the chudritsa quarter. Ekantinoyasana kanchanatam banchantiyevai bhagavapapanna atyadbutam tat charitam sumangalam gayanta ananda samudramagna. Ananda samudramagna means drowned in an ocean of ananda. And he's given the qualifications. Those who are ekantino, who are one-pointed devotees, ekantino yasya nakanchanartam banchanti. They don't want anything else. They're akinchana bhaktas, pure devotees. Banchaniya bhagavat papanna, surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When such devotees hear or chant the atyadbhutam tacharitam sumangalam gayanta, when they sing the extremely wonderful leela of the Lord, that charitam sumangalam are very, very auspicious. They are drowned in an ocean of bliss. And that completely negates any of the sukodu tarsham.
Mm.
That's how you can actually come to a
so he's saying it completely negates this tendency to become obsessed with petty
yeah.
you know, stimuli of the material world and lose our even spiritual life like that.
And this was mentioned yesterday too in the class, how to come to the point of Vairagya.
Mm-hmm. All right. You know, let's face it, let's be honest amongst ourselves. We're still works in progress. We're trying to cross to that side. We're trying to get to that, and actually seriously take that shelter. In the meantime, as I gave my own example, we still have a tendency to slip up. Thank you for your kind attention. Jagat Guru, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Granth Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Nitya Gaur, Premanandini.